summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie?
Hello, and welcome into episode 106 of Keithan's Craft Collective. Now, you might hear different noises today because I'm in my polytunnel. Well, there's two reasons. One, the blather is about herding bees, and you will hear buzzing of bees buzzing around doing their bee thing in my polytunnel. And the other, you hopefully should hear all the birdies that are chittering and chattering and chirping and doing their thing. And I thought it was so nice, I'd try and do some recording. I've just been attacked by a spider. A little tiny money spider. So, I thought, well, I'll come into the polytunnel where all the bees are. But it's absolutely roasting in here. So, bear with me, I might sweat. Think good thoughts because I'm watching the strawberries all ripen. Some have started. And the plums are plumbing. The raspberries are just about there to grow into fruit, where the bees are still going around the flowers of them. The toad is toading about Toad Hall, and my slug is slugging. I had one hanging off the wall of the polytunnel earlier today. Yeah. Anyway, I've been very busy today, and I'm actually waiting on the post office reopening, so I thought I'd grab this time, come in here, and record. Let's hope it turns out okay. So, welcome into episode 106 of Keithan's Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and I've got bees and possibly a cockatoo who's roaming around checking for mice. It's too hot in here for him. And today I've got a blether with herding bees, a what's a crack coming up, swap and caltastic section, passing it on, me, the textile technique is back this episode, and we finish with a fantastic shoppy section. I sponsor this for my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes. So get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week. Now, the birdie in the background just now is a sparrow. There's been a wee man sparrow sitting chirping. So he must be looking for a mate just now.
Now for the blather.
The blather. Herding bees. Here you can hear the host of bees in the background. Isn't it lovely? In the Terry Pratchett books, The Witches series, Granny Weatherfax does a bit of borrowing. And this is where she goes in a trance. She puts a wee sign on saying, I am not dead, which is her way of spelling dead. And she borrows an animal's body to go off and do whatever it is she wants them to do. She's pretty good at it, but the piece de resistance in one of the books is borrowing a swarm of bees. Pretty darn hard, but pretty darn impressive. Now just now, our polytunnel is in full bloom. We've had an apple tree in there for a few years, but it needed another apple tree to cross-pollinate it, and we got one early this year. Then Richard got obsessed about whether the bees would come and do the cross-pollination thing. So we had the paintbrush out, gently moving the pollen about, and then one day I said, no more with the paintbrush, the bees have found it. We've got normal, bog standard bumblebees. Sorry, bees, you're not bog standard, I love you all individually. We've got black and yellow ones with a white bit on the bum, and the orangey ones. And I looked them up and they're quite normal. Not rare, but they're good ones. I can hear cockatoo roaming around looking for mice now. But in Caithness, there are great yellow bumblebees, which are pretty rare, and there's a conservation effort to help them. They've stopped cross-cutting some of the grass verges back in some areas of the countryside, obviously where it's safe to do so for vision of cars, and this gives the weeds and the wildflowers time to grow and feed the bees. There's even a pop-up shop in Thurso to help promote this project until the middle of June. And what you can do yourself, they're saying, this year is let the dandelions grow, because bees love to eat the dandelions, the clover, and it really helps with them. Granted, some of it might be really difficult for some of you to do that. Myself, I have not much problem with it. Bees are incredibly important critters. In fact, you get different, you do get particular flower seeds that bees love. In fact, if bees stop being, then it's just not worth thinking about, because they don't cross-pollinate the flowers, the vegetables, the fruit, and then it turns the crops fail and we all go hungry. And they in turn are food for certain birdies and dragonflies. A couple of years ago I listened to a podcast called Wisdom of Bees from the Open University, which was fascinating. Quite dry, but fascinating. Bees have been here since time immemorial, so they're obviously doing something right. They're small things, being clever, they constantly look to the future. They all work together as a body, and humans, well, I suppose we could really work from them, if we set our minds to it. Whilst I don't really want a hive myself, quite a few of you listeners are beekeepers, and if you're at your hive just now, hello the bees! My bees meet your bees, and I'm sure your bees are buzzing back. Some people are terrified of bees, and for good reason. They're allergic to their sting. I can understand this. But most bees will pretty much leave you alone if you don't annoy them. They're just looking for food, and sometimes they check you out to see if you are food, especially if you're brightly clothed. Take that. Oh, I'm saying brightly clothed. They nearly come over to me when I'm wearing my bright pink running jacket, but that's maybe because I'm brightly smelly. Take that as a compliment that you are smelling or looking tasty. We had quite a number, well, we still have quite a number in the polytunnel, and one of them was struggling to exit one day. It was headbutting the plastic quite a bit. And Richard decided to help it by herding it out, by guiding it out the big plastic flower pot. Wasn't too happy until it realised what was happening, and then I think I heard it buzz. Thank you. Buzz buzz, see you later. Just how does this relate to craft? Well, here we go with the tenuous link. I should really just change this blather to the tenuous link to craft with something else in the blather. Well, think on the little things that we have buzzing around in our head. The stash, the patterns, the equipment, Ravelry. One feeds the other feeds the passion. Ravelry's the flower, the honey, the passion, the yarn and the equipment. The person, I'd say, the bees buzzing around thinking of what to make. If we see a great pattern or a deal on something, we all do the bee dance. The bee dance, here we go. You know that one? The bouncy, bouncy, wiggling a figure of eight, facing the direction of where the flowers are, and we have to shake our booty so many times for how far out it is. Okay, everyone on the bus, i.e. you, Siri, because you asked for this. Good exercise here, random thought. Spell out the alphabet with your hands and your ankles. And it strengthens them and it gives them a gentle workout too. You can do this on the bus if you're sitting down. And if you're standing up, squash on the tube or in the aisle of the bus, go on. Get doing the direction for flowers bee dance. I double dare you. You in the car just shake your head in a bee wee. Bzzz. Don't think these are very safe for you today. As crafters, we are looking to the future. What projects we want to do, what yarn we want to use, what season, something. I don't think I've really got a good handle on that yet. I want the thick winter jumper for the winter, but if I start it in the winter, it won't really be ready until summer, and then it's too late. But I don't want to knit it in the summer because it'll be too hot, and I want some shawls and light cardigans then. I need to think bee here. I've currently got a million things to do. As I said, I'm just edging this in just now, and I'll edit later on tonight. And I've got some serious time management thing going on today and tomorrow, so I feel like I'm herding bees, only... Spooky. The sand is just moving. Obviously the toad has just pushed against it. If you hear some more noise, it's just sand in a bag. My bees are called Sandy, Daisy, Richard, and Housework, Podcast, Gardening and Etsy Shop, where the bees themselves are quite happy just be themselves. Please don't be swapped dead, those bumbles. They are much more funny and buzzy than we think they are. Just ask Winnie the Pooh. He knows these things. Bumble on. If you need a pee stop or a glass of water, I'm so hot. Time to go because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now and been with me forever listeners. I really appreciate you tuning in and I hope you are enjoying yourselves. A Sandy hello to new group members, Shale Bale 76, Manda Jane, Drummo, Bobby Socks, Al Cat Mum, Shara Pie. And random hellos are going to Elaine again. She loves knots. She got a kick out of it last time. The bag of sand just fell over. Twinset Jan and Twinset Ellen from the Twinset Designs podcast, and please go listen to them because they always mention me in their show. I must be like their Easter egg. Diane Jensen, Nadine Slov, Speedy Gonzalez, who is Aurora Lee, hope I said that right, and she lives in Aberdeen. And I think you should all go and stalk her designs and blog.
Whatsy crack, Citrin?
Whatsy crack? The lovely Sandrada still has the suggestion of podcast buddies. So she wondered if anyone, especially those living away from others, because there are you, would like a Caithness Craft Collective email pen pal. You could mentor a beginner, be a beginner and have been mentored. And if you want to put your name onto this thread in the group, and then people can just ask as you want to do it. Also going on now is Stash Dash, and this is hosted by the Knit Girls videocast. This is the idea where you knit from your stash from now until August and you use up as much as possible of your stash. And they have lots of prizes and good things going on in their group. Bumble seems a bit angry. The good thing is here, if you've got loads of half-finished objects already half-knit, you can add to them and if you finish them in this time frame. I think this is great because I was saying recently by email to a lovely listener that I have been gotten to the point where I look at my stash and I think, huh? And she said, yeah, mine feels a bit stagnant too. So I therefore will be, and I have to be fair, I have been knitting from stash a fair bit recently. So get motivated and dash that stash. Highland Wool Fest. Yeah, that bee needs hoarded out. Or did it make it? Okay, let's see. Yeah, see? Bee needing hoarded out. But I'm afraid the way I've set myself up, I can't help it just now. Highland Wool Fest. A couple of Saturdays back now, I was down in the Highland Wool Festival in the Dingwall Mart. I met some wonderful people. Jane even chidded me in the toilets. Thankfully, I was finished and washing my hands. But I then had to run after a small child, and I was a bit, yeah. So, hello to her and Morag, and hello to Tooth Fairy and Sheila of the Black Isle Crafts podcast, but I missed both of them, I'm afraid, which I was really sad about. Big hellos to the very lovely Beth, who was my escort at the Edinburgh Yarn Festival, and I met her again in Dingwall, which was nice. Oh, she's such a kind lady. I feel like she should have flowers strewn in front of her when she walks, and little animals that come and perch on her hand. Now, I had taken Mum down with me and the bairns, so we came down from the hills en masse. And then we went and said hello to Helen of Ripplescraft, who was doing a roaring trade. We met Louise Scully from Knit British podcast, and you know, it's just like meeting your pal in the pub. She's got some great stories. She can do serious, and she can do not so serious, all in the same bundle. Then we went down to say hello to Kelly from Kelly Mac Knits video blog cast, which was previously the Charming Lochie video cast, but she's taken a wee break and now she's come back with a fresh coat of paint, as they say. Some of that's down to my request. Bless her cotton woolen socks. Thank you, Kelly. I really enjoyed watching you yesterday. And she has a beautiful puppy that you have to go and watch. A puppy. Oh. What's wrong, Coach? Have you seen him? Frog or something. Who's that for you? She was manning her mum's stand, and her mum has Cairngorm bags, and these bags are very professional. And she even had Harris tweed bags. They were just lovely. And now ringing in my ears was my husband's warning of only buy if you absolutely need it or it's an investment because you need to save up to go to America. I did try not to drool over the Harris tweed because, you know, you damage it, you pay for it. And if you've ever heard or seen Harris tweed, it's really the poshest of the Scottish tweeds, in my opinion. There are other Scottish tweeds, but it's just the top dollar for me. They have woven fabric, which is hand-dyed in the shades of the Western Isles. I'd really like a handbag. However, whilst it would be an investment... What's that, America? Yes, I know, I am coming. Now, Dingwall, or Dingers, Mark, which is the market where they sell agricultural sheep things, animals, is a pretty good venue for this festival. The cafe bit in the inner part of the building is aimed at farmers, who are the people who frequent the marts. All chips and pies and beans and mugs of tea and home baking. Now the home baking. Let me tell you about the home baking. It has to have its own special mention. We are talking 5 by 5 by 5 cube of cake. Inches. Not centimetres. Inches. Onto plates, and they used a trowel to do so. They were huge! Mum bought the bairns one strawberry slice, and the three of them had a great big piece each. I'll tell you, you couldn't fault the food one little bit there. They had their classes in the upstairs area, pretty much, some in rooms and some in the mezzanine, which I would have thought would have been quite loud because there was a fair buzz in the bottom cafe area. However, I'm sure it was better up there. Then they had half the exhibitors in an inside hall, and the rest were in the pens, which was covered sort of outside. These are where the animals coming to market would be penned and then they taken into the ring to be sold. I think it's on par with likes of Wool Fest and the American Wool Festivals, but this was the Dingwall Mart, and it's the first one I've been to like that. It was really quite clean for a mart, which I expected to be quite smelly, but not really. They do a good job of getting it clean. And there was a good 50 exhibitors, and they range from yarn dyers to fleece to tweed bags, quilting shops. And then they had the children's playpen, and this was great because they could go and learn finger knitting or pom-poms, and you could leave them and they wouldn't be let out until you came back, which was an absolutely brilliant thing and very kind of the organisers. Top marks for that idea. Now my two made pom-poms, and I got the chance to go around the pens without them for a little while, so if you have bairnies you'll know how much that was appreciated. Now that's either a blackbird or a Jenny Wren tweeting around in the background. We've also got house martins squeaking away and some squalls, so hopefully you birdie people are having a lovely treat. I threatened to sell the bairns in the ring, but I was told it wasn't allowed. I was only joking. We weren't allowed to go into the sailing ring, which I thought would have been a nice place to go and sit and knit, but it didn't really matter in the end. Now I got there at 11 o'clock and the car park was pretty full, and I believe that the footfall was well over 1,000, which was really good for its first outing to Dingwall. I also saw Isolde Teek, who smiled back at my smile, but I was too shy to speak to her and just thought, well, I'm going to be fangirl. Yeah. So it was nice to see her there, and she was there for quite a bit of the day. Overall, it was a grand day out. If you're hearing squeaking, that's not me making windy noises, that's my chair. Because normally I stand up when I'm talking to you, but today I'm sitting in my pink director's camping chair. Overall, it was a grand day out. I got to meet Jen and her lovely friend Morag, and Louise Scully, and met the lovely Beth and Helen from Ripples Craft, and Kelly again, and her mum from Cairngorm Bags. And finally I got to meet Yarn Garden, Louise and George. I got a picture of Louise Scully and Yarn Garden Louise, entitled Louise Cubed, Are You Scared? So this brings me to the interview I had with the Yarn Garden's George. The usual apologies for the background noise. And I had us editing this, but I left in the lovely Beth because she helped me with the questions. And oh, long story. But your podcaster host here was not very well organised and had left her questions list at home. So Beth, being a listener, helped me come up with some questions, which I think are fun. Thankfully George is quite a cool chap and he went with it. He did look rather bemused by this wee mad Highlander, was she, with her iPhone. I'm with George Stoker and we're at the Highland Wool Festival in Dingwall today, and he's from the Yarn Garden. So, hello George.
Hello indeed.
I'm Louise from Caithness.
How do you do?
Very pleased to meet you.
I'm George from Newcastle.
How did you become a yarn dyer?
Well, I've got a strange background, I suppose, in that it's kind of half science and half the arts. So in the science, I've been a chemistry teacher for 30 years. So that's a science kind of background. And kind of the arts background, I've done an awful lot of work in theatre and painted and play music and such like. And I kind of was looking for something that would allow me to use kind of both sides. And Louise wouldn't let me make fireworks, because obviously that would kind of be science and art at the same time. And I came across the science of the dyeing and kind of the fibre in its chemistry and why it is that the dyes will bind to it. And it is really interesting area of chemistry, I thought. So eventually I thought I'll have to have a go at this. So I gave it a try, and now I'm doomed because I can't stop.
And to explain to the listeners who Louise is, not me, I'm the other one.
Louise is my partner, but we're partners both ways. She's, you know, part of the business as well.
Just so that you don't get confused. There's too many Louises about today, I think. And you want to tell listeners about your new workshop?
Yeah, we have a new workshop. We're quite excited about that. We've been in there about 7 weeks. So up to now, the house has been completely upside down and taken over by the business, where you can't walk from room to room without bumping into yarn that's drying and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we've got a workshop, and the production process has moved up to there. And there's enough space to do kind of knitter natters. We do now what are we calling it? Thursday knit out. Does that sound like night out? That's as close as we can get.
In a Geordie accent,
I think we're calling it Thursday knit out. And Saturday knitter natter as well. And then two designers that we're working with, and we hope a third one will be doing knitting lessons there as well. They've already started.
And whereabouts exactly is this?
So this is in Newcastle upon Tyne, at a place called The Beacon. The Beacon is where the old fire station used to be. So they knocked it down and turned it into, now what do they call it? A community enterprise centre.
Perfect.
And there's 10 artisan workshops there.
Cool.
Which means
good.
I am now an artisan, so that's good.
You look like one.
Do I?
No.
You know, look more like a chemistry teacher, probably.
I just think you look like you. That sounds really good, and I hope that some of my listeners manage to get along, because it's not fair I want to go now. I could maybe have a holiday down at my cousin's. I'm just thinking I'll make it go over a Thursday.
Possible.
It is very possible. What is the process that you do when you're actually dying? Because to me, I'm just being waved at by Beth. The lovely base. She's lovely. So what's the process when you're actually dyeing?
Well, we're buying wool from various different places, just depending on what it is I fancy. So it comes from various mills, and there are people and brokers that just buy in and sell sell wool. So I've got my favourites now. We only started business in August, so at the start I don't think I knew what I liked, but I'm homing in on what suits my dyeing process. And the acid dyes that I use require... The dye itself is not an acid, which makes it a strange name for them, really. But the mordant, the kind of sticks the fibre and the dye together, is the acid, in the case of acid dye.
Right.
So I use citric acid. So the wool, I tend to soak it in the citric acid solution first. Don't always do that. There's a variety of things that I do. Can't tell you everything.
Oh, trade secrets.
and then the dye is added in different concentrations at different temperatures, depending on the effect that you want. So I dye everything from solid colours to semi-solid, that are kind of variegated a little bit, to really strikingly variegated yarns. I've dyed in combinations to give maximum contrast, or the blending, or, and I just hope that the people that knit or crochet or weave like what I produce.
I think they are so far, we're judging by how many people were buying when I was there. I was only there for 2 minutes.
Yeah, we sold okay today. It's a really, really lovely show. I'm really glad we came.
Good, it is quite a distance for you to come.
It's
up.
A big distance. It's worth it even for the atmosphere. It's good. A lovely show.
Good, I'm looking forward to seeing you on Unwind Brighton.
Yeah, we'll be at Unwind as well.
Yeah. It'll be weird if we're on the other end of the country and I'm coming to see you.
Yes.
And you were saying about the process of some of them are full colours and some of them are not.
Yes.
How do you go about that? What's your inspiration for that? Is it what's selling or what you fancy doing?
Well, because we started business in August, up to now I've just tried everything on the colour wheel that you could possibly imagine. I'm particularly fond of taking a primary colour and its relative secondary.
Can you maybe explain that to the universe, the listeners?
And Louise, I think, she had a funny look on her face when I said that.
I actually did this, but I forgot what it means.
So the primary colours would be the red, the blue and the yellow. So if you take any one of those and mix the other two together to get the secondary, so
okay.
It would be, so there's three pairs of those. Mm. I think those particularly are very striking. But then, you know, intermingled blues and purples and things. But I've been working on a secret recipe as well. In the blue and green pair, I've been able to dye up so that the yarn's got like an iridescence in the same kind of way as you get in a bird's feather sometimes.
Oh.
So it's sometimes, oh, it's blue, and now, oh, it's green.
Yeah, hello.
Can
we go back in and I can buy some now?
No, I haven't got any here today.
Oh, no.
That's not on the market yet. I can do blue-green,
right.
But it should be possible to do two other pairs of colours as well, and I haven't.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
I'm not there yet. So you could watch the space for next year, maybe.
Well, if you're a science teacher, I'm sure you manage it. That sort of colour covers the... Well, where do you get your inspiration from? Is it from the colours? Or...
Yeah, because that... So I've just tried everything I could try to now. But in the next few months, we're going to try a new venture, and I'm going to be putting together a collection. So instead of how I worked so far, we'll be choosing a theme for the collection. So it might be anything from rainforest or coral reefs or stormy weather or, you know, 50s rock and roll, or whatever the theme happens to be, and put together a collection of colours around that theme.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we're going to do is we're going to come up with maybe 20 ideas for possible themes,
mm-hmm.
and just ask our Ravelry group what they think of those.
Good.
Without showing them the colours.
Yeah.
So they can go, you know, if half of them think rainforest is a really good idea, then we'll go.
I've got to start
somewhere.
Cool.
And see how that goes.
Uh-huh. I think it's a good idea for a science teacher to be a yarn dyer.
Well, it is. I explained it. I mean, the dyeing is science.
Yeah.
If you go to industry, the person who is the dyer is a scientist.
Yeah.
But obviously needs to have a creative bent as well,
Yeah.
Unless some other designer in that company is doing it, but I'm doing both.
Or they tell you what to do, but you get to do
it. I'm really, really enjoying it.
Excellent. So, George has just had groupies going past going, George! George waved and thinks it's great. Fortunately, I just paused the recording. I'm quite annoyed about that.
Is that going to be edited out?
Not that bit.
Can you see that I'm blushing? Oh, no, it's a podcast, you can't see. That's fine, you can leave
it. I'll take a photograph. What do you look for when you're buying the base of the yarn?
There's a completely different set of things depending on what it is you're doing. I like quite a high silk content for the dyeing, especially when you're talking about lace weight or cobweb, you know, finer yarns. With the dyes I use, it gives sometimes almost kind of a metallic sheen to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like quite the high silk content on those, and yet that doesn't quite sit so well with thick yarns, I don't think, from maybe Arran and up from Arran. I think sometimes you get quite a chalky looking appearance to it. And I quite like that. So I would steer away from silk for a lot of those. And then we've just started carrying a line of mohair,
mm-hmm.
and a designer that we're working with is just in the middle of a pattern for us using the mohair, and I thought it would be kind of quite a heavy thing, the mohair. I didn't realise it would be, what's the diaphanous, is that a word? That's a lovely word.
It's a lovely word.
It's very, it was, well, I was blown away with the design she's done for us. I thought it was excellent. So we'll have that as a kit in the next few months.
Mm-hmm. You work with designers as well?
Yeah, we're working with two designers at the minute, and the third one has just agreed to come down from Edinburgh to do some lessons at a workshop. So she's a designer, and we've kind of linked up. I'm hoping we'll have some of hers as well.
That's excellent. That's news to keep a lookout for. Finally, George, I better let you get back to your stand because it was pretty busy. Where can listeners get hold of you to buy all your yarn?
Buy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're online at yarngarden.co.uk. But you could find us on Ravelry and Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and Twitter.
And that's perfect. Thank you very much, George.
It was a pleasure. It was nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Now, as you heard, halfway through this interview, I paused to save the file, and out the door came two ladies going back to their car and shouted to George, "Thanks, George, see you later." And he was impressed he had groupies. He did have the grace to blush, though. He's brilliant, and their yarns, oh, vivid, gorgeous, totally recommend. They came all the way up from Newcastle, so I wheeled out my resident Geordie mum, and they talked about the North East in accents I could understand, but only just. Lovely. Mum delighted with that. So I'm really looking forward to meeting them again in Unwind Brighton, and if you see them in other shows, go over to their stand, as they have some really brilliant and good value yarn and kits and books. That's a seagull over. That could be an oyster catcher. Can I see it? I'm really looking forward to meeting them in Unwind Brighton. So if you see them in any other show, do go over to their stand, as they have some brilliant and good value yarns and kits and books. And also hunt them down in Newcastle. Hopefully, George will have managed to dye up the iridescent yarns he was alluding to. And I put a special request for swallow colours, because I want it for making the swallowtail shawl. George, if you're being made to listen to this by your lovely Louise, whom, Louise, oh, I could have easily stolen you, not from you, just you, because you're ace, can you add to the swallow's request a House Martin one too? Because one's slightly pink and the other one's slightly blue, and I've got both of them in my house and shed. I'm just a needy, greedy kind of person. I'm not sure about a House Martin pattern, though. And I'd like this for when I see you in Brighton. You know, deadline, just so that you do it. But please do go find Yarn Garden at www.yarngarden.co.uk, and they are on Ravelry, and you can befriend them on Facebook and Twitter, and they're very lovely to chat to on all social media and in actual real life. So that was the Highland Wool Festival. Thank you to all for a wonderful day out. It was a great interview, and it was great making new yarny friends and meeting old yarny friends. The same organising committee are having the Highland Textile Fair in Edencourt and Inverness in October time.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up. Speaking of Unwind Brighton, on the 12th and 13th of July, and I'm going on the 12th, which is the Saturday, and there's a podcaster meetup at 1 o'clock in the mezzanine above the main shopping area and cafe in Brighton Corn Exchange. So this means you come to meet us, not us just sitting there meeting each other. There are some knit-alongs happening too, and I have stolen this bit from the Faithful Days group and the actual Unwind Brighton group I was in. Now you can join the CAL, cast on whenever you like, tag your projects Unwind CAL. And you don't have to be coming to Unwind to take part. In fact, there will even be a special category called Wish You Were Here for people who can't make it. So if you're not coming along, use the extra tag UCALWYWH. Say like Louise Scully, who tried and tried and tried to make it fit, and she's having FOMO, which I didn't know was fear of missing out. Acronym, sorry. So I thought it was really nice anyway. Slightly rubbing in your face, but nah, we're all yarny friends, we like that kind of thing. So the knit-alongs, I had a look yesterday, and one's called Averon by Bristol Ivy, which is one of my favourites. Vera Valamaki has made a lightweight summer jumper called Juniper. There is On the Pier shawl by Justina Loroskia. Rachel Coopy is having a mystery sock knit-along going on just now, and it's called Pavilion, to go along with the Brighton Pavilion, which is a beautiful ballet. I've seen it. Alerion, which is by Duick Van Milligan. I hope I'm not butchering your name. And finally, there's Veil of Lethan by East London Knit. So then, on top of that, was the design competition, which I know Helen of Curie's Handmade podcast put in a beautiful shawl design called Pebble Beach. And it was doing really well when I went in to vote. Some of you lovely listeners have told me that you will be going, and I really hope that you come over and introduce yourself. I'm not taking any of the classes, but you might still be able to grab one of them if you want to yourself. I will most certainly be at the podcaster meetup, but any other time, please just introduce yourself.
Psst, pass it on.
Pass it on section. Sort of. This is me referring to something that a few of the American podcasters have mentioned. And most recently was the Knitmore girls saying that how they send their fleeces that they buy when on the Yarn Festy shows. They send them off to get processed by a lovely lady from Morrow Fleece Works. She processes the fleece, and sounds like she does a great job of it, and then the admin behind it and sends them back. I was wondering, who in the UK does this to the same standard and how much does it cost? I've got three fleeces languishing, and it's a shame because the thing that's stopping me is the cleaning. So, if you know and have used and can recommend someone, please pass it on to me. Although saying that, moving on until after September, kind of good point.
The swap section.
Swap and Cal. You still have time to enter the 100 gram knit along. If you took part in the 100 gram swap or not, it doesn't matter. The only rule is 100 grams of 4-ply sock or fingering weight yarn can be used, and you have to have a finished object photographed and linked in the finished object thread by the end of June. And any pattern you wish, and I have a project bag made by me as a prize. It's lovely, spooky. So sign up and get knitting. I'm going to knit Sandy. I'm not saying Aunt Daisy, I'm just putting Sandy socks in. Oh, he was at me yesterday because he was reading this. And his socks have kind of stalled. But there's a story behind that, I'll come on to in a bit. And please no chatter in the finished object thread. I know it's difficult not giving someone the well-deserved loving, but I'm going to delete any extra comments when I do the raffle bit at the end of the month. If you don't like being deleted, a la like the Cybermen, please don't comment. And you can still do the chatter in the 100 gram swap part. And Giffnet Girl, can you put your name down in the finished object thread as well, please? Some of you have already finished this, as I said, and it's really cool. I am again slow. And I've kind of been doing other things. And I am at the point of starting the heel for Sandy's first sock. He'll have grown a full size by the time I finish it. The reason was because I've been doing other things that were a bit more time management organised, and June seemed so far away, and now the end of June is rushing towards me because we are so busy at school. So busy, like bees. Busy as a bee. Moving on. Project bag swap. Now this can be one you have made or bought and should be for a smallish project. No bigger than, I'm going to say 13 by 13 to keep it fair. Also include a note and up to three other items craft related. One of the items can be sweeties, and then post by the 30th of June 2014. When you do receive, can you put up a note in the group to see that you have received it so that we know? And if you can manage that, a photograph of your goodies, because we love watching the goodies. Don't worry about the last swap if you got more than you sent. Just accept it as a gift from the lovely swappy, and the lovely swappy will get yours back in karma. Challenge Cal. I joined in with Arlen as the Lost Geek podcast for the Challenge Cal, where we improve on our knitting skills. So this is, you've not done a technique or say a garment before. I've not done toe-up socks before, so I'm going to be doing them. And this, my guest spot is going to be in August, and I've just realised I've not replied to Arlen. Sorry, pal. I think a Skype meetup would be lovely. So we will organise that.
The beaker section. Me
section. I did do quite a bit of craft the past fortnight. Hooray! Craft stuff, you say. Finally. Now, remember I had this chest coldy thing? Well, it came back. And I tried running and I obviously shouldn't have done. So I have spent a bit longer getting over it, and I can still hear it in my voice when I'm talking a lot. However, I managed to do quite a fair bit of crafting. I have actual owls on my Hogwarts Express shawl, my Susan Ashcroft pattern. And I'm using the Surder Snuggly Baby Speckle, which is a cotton blend double knit in a 50 gram ball. And I have got three balls. And the yarn's quite round and plump, and for cotton, it's nice and soft in the hands. And it's not sorting it at all because it's got that blend in it. And I so would love to make a baby cardigan or jumper out of this. Now, my shawl, the rows are quite long. So I have about 22 owls thereabouts. And they are split into 12 stitches of the pattern repeat. There are a few lines with cable on it. It's quite clever the way it's done. And there's one with beads on for the eyes. That was a slow line. But the whole part of the owl area is only about 20 rows or so. So if you're not feeling like your repeat chart torture, that should be something that should do. Oh no, that makes me sound like a dictator, an evil person. Maybe only to people who stop us buying things we want to. No, scrap that. I sound evil. I am saying chart. I actually use the written instructions for this. I like charts, but, and there is a chart. However, when I printed this off, and I printed it smaller to save paper, it printed too small for me to actually read the key of the chart and the chart. So I just went with the written in longhand because I could read that. It's not that I've got bad eyes, it's just printed far too small. And I'm really looking forward to finishing this soon because my owls don't quite yet have feet. Now, the Canasby show is tomorrow and I have so far two entries. I wouldn't say they were going to be contenders, but me at the back keeping up the numbers. And I did say to Mum I didn't expect to win anything, and she says, no, no, that wouldn't be fair, would it? It's only 30 pence an entry, so it doesn't matter. And it's more going to be a good day out because the weather's going to be fine. So if you are in Caithness tomorrow, the Saturday the 7th of June, please do go along to Canasby Showground, which is really just the field behind the hall, for 12 o'clock. And I will be running after my children and at some point going in to the craft exhibit and seeing all the lovely first prizes that Sarah has. Now I am looking, I'm not actually just now, I'm looking at my new teapot cosy. Well, unless I'm going to use some strawberry plants, I'm not. When I was writing this, I was looking at my teapot cosy because it's on the window ledge. I knitted it using 8 Acres yarn that she'd sent me a good year ago now. And I used the tea mitten pattern by Elizabeth Cleven as a guide, as I had made one before I sent it to a swap down in New Zealand. And it's a free pattern via Ravelry, and I remember not understanding row 9 at all. But I went from memory and I just kind of did my own thing. And I didn't do the same length of spout cover, I didn't do the flap with the button. I did use the general idea and it's nice and snug on my teapot. And as long as Judge Mum, that's Judge Zelia, not Judge Judy, doesn't pick it up too much, then I might get away with my wee mistakes and things I wish I'd done better. I have mistakes, but I'm not going to tell you what they are just in case she listens to this. I would have had a shorter spout, and Richard suggested to put beads on around the top to finish it off, but I actually quite like it the way it is. I also have my crocheted infinity scarf, although I'm still not as sure I've put it. I should really go and find it. Good point, well presented. And this was made using Sparkle Ducks, which 100 grams, and it was The Clouds Began to Break from the Golden Skein Stash. And I used broomstick crochet, but instead of the broomstick, I used Sandy's lightsaber, as you do when you're a mother and a bit dippy. It's a really bonny stitch that you get from it. And if I had a shorter lightsaber, I would do this again. It was a wee bit awkward, and I'm not very versed in the ways of the Force enough to keep the lightsaber moving the way I wanted it to go without having to have it wedged under a cushion. And he kept wanting his lightsaber back, you know? Villains to kill, General Grievous to fight off. And I did cut out my bunting, and I was going to do simple I was going to do simple bunting pendant shapes from an old Farm and Sam annual and then sew the paper over onto some long cord. I did cut it out, but some are quite squint and I couldn't find any cord without chopping up one of Sandy's swim bags, and he actually still uses the swim bags. So it's still sitting there. Most likely I won't put it up now because I hate things that I'm not going to get a use out of later. I've nearly finished another pincushion dog. Did I tell you about those? I can't remember. Well, a couple of meetings of quilters back, we had a round of pincushion dogs and cats going on at quilters. I had made one each for Sandy and Daisy with their help over the Easter holidays. had some dog and some cat printed cotton that we used. I have a vague memory of telling you now this. And I had thought I could use up one of these for the show. But the children were helping, but the children stuffed them. And they're kind of uneven and looking, they're not very well sewn when you look at them. Plus I wanted one for me. So I cut it out and I was getting on splendidly until I realised that I had cut one of the underneath pieces inside out. And then I'd sewn the other one on the wrong way round, so I was sitting upstairs not quite finished. And I may get it done in time, may not for tomorrow, but I will get it done quite soon. I did a fair bit of sewing onto my textil art piece of the sunrise over the harbour in January. It's all shiny and bright. I've been crocheting wee pieces and sewing them on, which is quite good for filling up space. And I used quite a lot of chain stitch to make the sea look wavy. And I've got beads on it and a couple of extra bits of brown material for the cliffs. I'm nearly finished. It's been fun crocheting chains over and then sewing them down. I've quite enjoyed that. On to the collective. I am so hot in here. God, was lying flat out. Have a wee stretch there. I was at sewing day for quilters and I spent the whole day cutting material out to make the items I'm going to tell you about in the showbie section. And yesterday I was at a workshop hosted by the Caithness Quilters, which is why the podcast has been knocked back a bit and I've got a million things to do. It was a quilt panel called Feathered Star and it was run by a lady called Dawn Cameron Dick. Very experienced and she spoke a lot of truth. Now the quilt design is one that she's been running for a good 10 years, if not more, she said. And I'm not sure now if it was her design altogether or just one that she's been running a course on for a long time. But it's got a lot of small pieces in it and there was a lot of cutting. But this was good for me because I'm not the most confident cutter and she had some good tips and hints and she was a really good teacher. She was explaining about how we should contrast our quilts instead of just having them tonal, as the human brain likes contrast even when the eye is saying, "Ooh, look at all those similar tones, aren't they pretty?" But she said a good tip to see if you have enough contrast is to photocopy the material and then make it black and white, and then or look at them through a red screen. To which a fewer lady says, "Oh, I've got a red screen, but I didn't know what it was for." Because some of them love the gadgets, they get them at the quilt shows, and a lot of the time you don't know what they're for, you just have to have me that. She showed me how to set up my sewing machine for what thread to use, what needle to use properly for piecing, where to put the needle and what stitch length to have it, which foot to use. And I had some thread for quilting, which I thought was right, but it wasn't. That was for doing the quilting when you were putting your sandwich of three layers together and then you're making it go together. But this is for piecing, where you put the pieces of your quilt together. Yeah. Big fail in Louise and all the previous quilts. But never mind. There's no quilt police that I know of. Oh, what's that? You know the quilt police. Yeah, I think the quilt police are going to come if this bee doesn't get out. That's a different bee, by the way. She managed to give us all really good advice, and some of those ladies have been quilting at least 10 years, and some of them were learning things they didn't know. So I've tried to soak in as much of it as I could. And as they say, every day's a school day. I really didn't get anywhere near finished, but I had a good day and I was pleased that I went along. So if you see Dawn Cameron Dix, the quilter, in your area offering classes, do go along and soak up her knowledge too. Now at the textile artist's on Tuesday, we had another go at screen printing material. I say another go because the last time we did this was a couple of years ago now when we had Evelyn Ramsey. But we've had a little money left over after we paid our rent and we were discussing what to get. I requested that we go get a few more screens, so we were all instructed to go visit www.thermafaxscreens.co.uk. That's thermafaxscreens. Thermafax Screens. And go look up their selection. There are other ones available, but this is just the ones we used. They have three sizes of ready-made screens. They range from £7 up to £24. So, really, they're not too expensive, but they are an investment. And the problem was trying to decide which ones to buy. So, say, think of your rubber stamp collection, if you have one. You stand there and you think of which ones you get the most use of, such as happy birthday or Christmas ones, and then you kind of build it up from there. Well, we already had a couple of screens and they were both garden related or nature related, so I suggested that we got something that would tie in with the ones we have. We ended up getting a background design of a crackle effect and a big dandelion clock without the stem and a small robin, and that's a British robin. Added to the ones we have, we all went mad for printing on Tuesday. So this is where the textile technique is. It's been a while since we have a textile technique, but this one is screen printing using Thermofax screens. It's not a very hard thing to do. You can buy kits from their website if you want already, and really you need screen, paint, squeegee, material to print onto. And this can be actual material, or card, or paper, or leather, or basically anything that your paint is suitable to paint onto. You would also need newspaper, covered work surface, paintbrushes for scooping out the paint, access to a sink, water to clean the screens, masking tape or paper, thread, pins to use as a line when printing, series of prints, and of course your Caithness Craft Collective swap apron. And this isn't really that messy a technique either, but it's actually unusual for us. You don't even need your rubber gloves, so if you don't have them, you don't need them. They suggest that you use a proper squeegee, which is a thin piece of plastic that you spread the paint about with, but I used a credit card. Well, it was actually an old AA card, because I'm not that posh, to be precise. I had two in my wallet, and I was thinking, which one's the newest one? Hopefully it's that one, because it looks a bit scabbier. But if you're going to do this a lot, I do suggest that you invest in a proper squeegee, because it'll be kinder to your screen in the long run. It'll also make you feel less maverick and more professional. The kind of paint used depends on what you're going to print onto. If it's paper, you can use acrylic paint. If it's fabric you want it to be washed after, then I suggest proper fabric paint. And if it's not to be washed over, you could probably use acrylic. And it has to be that lovely gloopy texture, so it spreads about and it goes through the screen. So say watercolour or block paints, they wouldn't do. It has to be of a liquid type of paint. Now the screen. Thermofax is an older technology made by the company 3M in the 1950s. It went a bit out of date when modern photocopiers were invented, but they are now used to making screens for us crafty people and tattoo artists, who are pretty crafty too. The screen itself, I think, is a plastic material, and it gets put through this Thermofax machine with a design, see, the robin, and the design's inked in black, and it burns this image through one layer of the plastic of the screen where the design is, and the rest of the screen is left solid, and the area of the design. Quattro, if you're that hot, go and get some water. The area that you have the design on can have ink pressed through it, and it only goes through the area that you want it to go. It's fantastic for designs that you want to mass produce, or a design that you'll have a lot of use from in other pieces of work. See, I still would love to make Caithness Craft Collective logo design bags, and then I can get my logo, which I've never had designed yet because it was far too expensive in the long run, and then I never took up the lovely Laura Gessen on her offer. If any of you want to swap a couple of project bags for making me a design, get in touch. Swap. Not give, swap. But I could use this on a bag, on my bags, or the stationery, and I could print that on there too. That would be quite cool. So, the actual technique. Get your flat table or your counter to work on. Cover it with newspaper so you don't get paint everywhere. Get a flat table or counter to work on, cover with newspaper so you don't get paint everywhere. And also, if you have a base under your material, then the print can resist against. Some places suggest using a cloth. Catherine used a piece of velvet, but I just used the table and the newspaper. I think you kind of find your own preference and what works for what material you're using. Then get your material, and if you have the space, adhere masking tape so it's flat down to the surface and it won't move around. Your material needs to be the right side facing you, the one that you want printed onto. Then get your screen. Anna said the ones we have are Thermofax screens, which have the edges taped around in thick duct tape. That's that silver thick tape. And it has written on which way up in black ink, which is very good, it keeps you right. Some screens don't come with the duct tape or the writing. Lay the screen on the material where you want your design to be printed onto and get the paint out. If you have a tube of paint, that is ace, much easier. Squeeze a line of paint along the top of the duct tape directly above where the design is. Then get your squeegee credit card out and pull the paint down over the design so it goes through the screen where the layers have been lasered out thinner. Try to keep your squeegee upright and don't do it too hard. If you've missed any of the designs, then you can squeegee back over it. Don't press too hard or go on over too many times because then it will lose some of its definition. The designs can be very fine and you don't want to lose this, but you will find your own rhythm. But listen to my voice, heeding you, don't press too hard. Then pick your screen away from your material. Ta-da! One screen printed material. Now, depending on your paint, your material, it may be dry enough to print quite close to it or touch, but you'll soon figure this out because you do a test piece first. Oh, I forgot to tell you about that. Do a test piece first, but you're going to listen to this before you do this. Your world is your screen print oyster now. You can carry on printing on that bit of material with the same screen, or you can change colours, or you can change screens or colours or material. If you want to do a line of the same design, this is where you use your pins or your thread to line up where you've been. And it can be a bit difficult to work this out if you've got a large design, so every tip helps. And when you could also use paper or masking tape for masking over part of designs or just keeping things clean. And when you're finished, scrape off the excess paint from the screen and the squeegee. Keep that. Then wash them thoroughly and the screen. It does say that the screen will likely die a bit from the paint, but don't worry, that's quite normal. As long as you take all the paint off from the design area, then it should be fine. Now, and I'll try and take it off from around the edges of the duct tape because it tends to go in there as well. Now remember, acrylic paint dries hard. You do not want this on your screen design because it would clog up and you wouldn't be able to use it again. But there you go. Thermofax screen printing. Done. Ah, oh, Gordon Ramsay. Well, I say Gordon Ramsay, that's what he always says. Done. When he's finished making his cakes or dinners or whatever it is he does.
Shoppy section.
Whoa, still awake. This is the business transaction for where you get stuff back from your money. Not you give and just get the podcast. Actually, you are getting twice as much. I am a bog off. Buy one, get one free. I had this in my last episode, but it kind of sounded like I was saying bog off to my mother-in-law. I can't have that. So that's this episode. If you feel you wish to contribute to my continued running of the podcast and you get stuff back in return, please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft. Now, are you ready for this? I have been very busy. And I have, and Mum has made, some tartan project bags for sale. They're ranging from 10 inches to 12 inches, fully lined, drawstring ribbons on them. Mum's have beads on hers. Haven't worked out how to do that yet. Currently, there's a really bonny red tartan, which I've paired for the back with a scarlet red. And I also have a purple and a lilac tartan, some of my hand-dyed purple material on the back. I can't actually tell you the name of the tartan because it wasn't marked when I bought it. But you people who love tartan and Scottish things, imagine going to your knit night, pulling out your tartan bag. That's going to be a talking part right there. And those that like Outlander series, yeah, tartan, everything tartan. Where did you get that, they say? Oh, I got it on Etsy. Oh, just through PayPal, because I do that, you know, if you don't have an Etsy account. And she has a few in stock. Don't be getting an Etsy account just on my account. Just send me an email And you can pay by PayPal if you have a PayPal account. Of course, I do need a PayPal account. This is the only thing I'm going to do. I have a few in stock. And... Oh, Mum has made a couple of other ones. And they've got bonny white background with little red hearts. And also she's got a really bonny cream coral type of colour with butterflies on. And also she's got one that's got some kind of retro flowers, so I'll list them this afternoon. The two of the Tartan Ham project bags sold out last night. Instantly, I was beside myself with happiness, and this is why I've got to go to the post office today. But I am more than happy to run to the post office for you to have these project bags. Also, I've still got the ham bag that is felted and it's got lovely bonny wooden handles. And there's a wee lined notebook with a leather embossed thistle on it. And I also made a journal that has got a very heavily, mentally bright embroidered with couching and different types of primary colours. And it's a journal. I've not got this written down. Why have I not got this written down? Ugh, making things up on the store. I'm off script. I can't cope. Ah, the buzz, buzz, buzz. Listen to the bees for a minute while I think about what I've got to say. Okay, I have a bonny sketchbook on there as well. It's proper watercolour paper. You could use it for your bullet journaling, which everybody's going mad for. Or you could use it for an actual sketchbook. Or you could have it for your knitting bag. Pull it out and think of me. And it's also got a wee Celtic design in leather sewn onto the front as well, because Richard pointed out that this design on the front is too busy and you need somewhere to rest your eyes. So, I dutifully got out a bit of leather and burnt in a Celtic pattern, sewed it on, and yep, quite happy with that. So I'd love to sell it to somebody.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, section. Thank you very much for listening to us. I'm saying us, the bees, being, buzzy, and all things pun intended. Twin St. Jan will absolutely should be down with puns when I go to America. I'm useless at them. She'll have the Louise face of, okay, I can't think of that one. However, I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download and listen to me, and thank you for the iTunes reviews. And please do them, because it means that I get up the charts, and for those looking for a Scottish podcast can find them. And thank you for listening to my accent and the bees and the dog and everything and me melt. I'm going slightly loopy in here. I'm dehydrated. My email is kathinscraftcollective@gmail.com. I love messages. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. I love messages. I'm on Etsy. I'd love to sell you stuff. I'm on Twitter. I love to chat on Twitter. I'm on Pinterest. I love the humour on Pinterest. I'm on Facebook as Caithness Craft, and Instagram, which, when I got my upgrade of my phone, I lost all the links from my Instagram to Flickr and to Twitter. It's just driving me nuts. Rawr. But you can access the Flickr photographs on LouiseJ2010, or you can visit the Podbean site at www.keithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos are down the right hand side. Oh, one thing, I was approached to put in advertising into the podcast again. What's your thoughts? Any more advertising other than the stuff I do for myself? Or not? The music is from Mark Gunn's Wild Mountain Time. And you can go buy this from www.musicalley.com. The other music is from my bees. See, they're mine. They probably own me. Thank you for listening. Do keep them crafting.
And we'll all go together to Wild Mountain Time all around.